Hey, it's Holden Kushner. It is the Bet Rivers Network Denver City Cast, and we have a great show for you today. We got a nice little Bet Rivers special to tell you about. We're going to talk college hoops and a backdoor cover or a bad beat that happened right here in Denver in that Gonzaga game. What a story it was if you didn't know about it. Great sports weekend. One of the top five you're going to have in a year. And for me, the first couple of days of the NCAA tournament, top 2 days in all of sports. And it was absolutely magnificent. Broncos, Draymond Jones had some things to say about his time in Denver. Not great. And then we got to talk a little Nuggets as well. Mark Springer, Altitude 92.5, is going to join me. We'll talk some Avs. And speaking of the Avs, here's the Bet Rivers special today. Nathan MacKinnon and Sidney Crosby, two future Hall of Famers, to each score a goal at plus 285. MacKinnon and Crosby each scoring a goal tonight, plus 285. MacKinnon minus 155 on his own on Bet Rivers to score. Crosby plus 128. Listen, MacKinnon has scored a goal in 6 of 8. The Avs host the Blackhawks tonight, probably going to score a goal there. The Penguins face Ottawa, and Crosby hasn't scored a goal in 4 games, but both Ottawa and Pittsburgh have great offenses, and I'm pretty sure that both defenses have been horrific over the last few games. So maybe Crosby gets it in there. Bet Rivers special plus 285. But let's move on to the Front Range Four. The four biggest sports stories on the Front Range and college basketball right here in Denver. And by the way, it's coming back in 2025 too. Had a chance to run up to Ball Arena last night, catch the Gonzaga TCU game. And that crowd, A, was absolutely electric. This is an amazing sports town. You know this. And I've learned more and more and more since these betting numbers have come out. This is a basketball betting state. This is a basketball betting city. Like, more handle, more money comes in on basketball than it does the NFL. And that doesn't happen in many places. Anyways, so this line closes Gonzaga -4.5. Sunday night. You're sitting there at the game, you're saying to yourself, well, this is going to come down to the wire. TCU, all-time backdoor cover. Some people would call it a bad beat if you're on Gonzaga. So you had Hunter Salas with Gonzaga. He's fouled with 0.7 seconds left. Okay, this game was already over. 0.7 seconds left, he gets fouled. He sinks the 2 free throws. The crowd is going nuts because Gonzaga has now covered the 4.5 officially. Right? This thing's over. 0.7 seconds. Nothing's going to happen. But of course something happened. So Gonzaga takes the play off. TCU, the ball rolls up the court. No pressure. Damian Baugh from TCU heaves up a 3 at the buzzer. Horned Frogs cover it. They lose 84-81. But Gonzaga bettors do not cover the 4.5. TCU bettors get it down from 6 to 4 and they cash. So this is up to you. Is it the backdoor cover or is it the bad beat? People always talking about the bad beat. I say, hey, it's a backdoor cover. And I backdoor covered that one. But the crowd went absolutely nuts when the free throws were hit. And then they hit the 3 at the end. I'm thinking to myself, is that because you hit a long 3-pointer at the buzzer? But a lot of that was also the losing bettors in the crowd. So it was a span of about, what, maybe a minute where you had a foul at 0.7. You hit 2 free throws. Gonzaga covers. People are celebrating. And then a 3 for the ultimate backdoor cover. It was spectacular. What a weekend it was. So not just going to Ball Arena to go see the NCAA tournament. You had the Nuggets. Oh, boy, the Nuggets were struggling. They lost to the Knicks. Jokic came out and said some things, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But they lost to the Knicks on Saturday. Bounced back yesterday in Brooklyn with a really nice effort. You had the Avs. Nathan MacKinnon, a goal, 2 assists. Avs smoked Detroit 5-1. Avs have won 5 in a row. Getting primed for their playoff run to go back-to-back in the Stanley Cup. Oh, it's going to be so nice when they do that too. All these futures are going to pay off. 5 straight wins for the Avs now. And again, Springer's coming on. We could talk about that. Let me take a look real quick. I'm looking at the conference standings here. And the Avalanche are sitting at number 5. Here we go, jetting right up the standings. They've got, 14 games to play. They've got two games in hand. They're 6 points behind Vegas for the top spot. They are 4 points behind the Kings for the second spot. They are now within 3 points of catching Dallas for the division lead and two behind Minnesota. There is still a legit shot with 14 games that Colorado wins the West. Number one seed. Anyways, more of this weekend. NCAA tournament. So Thursday, Friday, I kind of count that as the weekend because I don't do much work on Thursday and Friday of the tournament when it starts. And we had a 16 advance. We had a 15 advance. We had a 13 advance. Really, the buzzer beaters were on the first day. I mean, you had a buzzer beater. You had a shot at the buzzer not go in. Arkansas upset my Jayhawks 72-71. They covered the 3.5. That made me really sad. But here in Denver, again, the Zags advanced. Creighton continued its run with a win over Baylor. I mean, this Creighton team, again, I've talked about them. Beginning of the year, a lot of sharp bettors saying this team can get to the Final Four, maybe even win the championship. They went through a funk when Kalkbrenner went down, their big dude, and then they got back on track, and then they beat a really good Baylor team last night, and they basically went wire to wire in that one. This Creighton team's really, really good. And if you're looking at a futures bet to make, look no further than Creighton because they have a easier road to where they need to be as opposed to the team that I think is the best, like Houston, that has a matchup against Texas. Like this thing, woo, this is a lot of fun, the NCAA tournament. So just looking at the futures real quick as I talk about the weekend bets, Houston's still the favorite. Some places it's Alabama. Houston plus 350, Bama 4-1, UCLA 7-1, Tennessee 8-1, the Zags 9-1, Texas 10-1 with Creighton 10-1 as well. I mean, I like two 10-1 bets there, Texas and Creighton. Problem is, Texas has Houston. Creighton, I think, can run. I think Creighton can make a little run here. Anyways, that was the tournament. Loved it. And then there was the World Baseball Classic, which was on the other TV for me. Saturday night was really cool because they're playing Venezuela. And for those of you not into the World Baseball Classic, that's fine. It's fun. There have been some injuries. I still think it's worth it. It's something I pay attention to every 4 years, and I'm happy. Anyways, the World Baseball Classic, Saturday night. Venezuela leading Team USA by 2. Bases loaded. Trey Turner hits a grand slam. Puts the USA in the semis against Cuba. And Trey Turner says that's the loudest he's ever heard a crowd. Think about that for a minute. Loudest ever. And he's played in World Series. Last night, Team USA mashed Cuba 14-2. So here we go. At the beginning of the World Baseball Classic, I told you I had Japan as my futures bet. Japan or Mexico in the finals, they'll face them on Tuesday night. Japan and Mexico going at it tonight. So it was a pretty incredible sports weekend, just to say the least. And I love it, and I'm going to miss it, but we'll still have some more great sports this week. We got the Sweet 16 Friday, Saturday. We got the Elite Eight. Actually, Thursday, Friday is the Sweet 16, Elite Eight. Saturday, Sunday, Major League Baseball getting underway. We still have the Nuggets and the Avalanche. So, again, anybody that tells you, oh, there's nothing to bet on after the Super Bowl, there's a lot to bet on right now, and there's a lot of great sports content. So, as far as the tournament goes, I'm going to be back on Thursday with all my Sweet 16 picks, but here's the one game I already bet. Kansas State plus 2 against Michigan State minus 110. K-State plus 2 against Michigan State. Half a unit on the plus, actually now 2.5. Plus 2.5, half a unit, and then a half unit on the money line at plus 110. Now, sometimes I get a little freaked out when I see quote-unquote sharp money coming in and moving a line. What is the sharp money, if you don't know? A lot of syndicates, big bettors, put a lot of money on a bet, and it moves the line. And they do it right when the line comes out. Well, the sharp money likes Michigan State in this game. So this opened up Kansas State as a one-point favorite. Tons of money has to come in to flip this thing to the other side. This is a 3.5-point move. Gives me a little pause, but now we're getting money with Kansas State in a game that I think is a little better than a coin flip for the Wildcats. The Wildcats, to me, are the better team here. Now, why are people backing Michigan State? Probably because Tom Izzo. But Jerome Tang, who was a 19-year assistant at Baylor. I mean, this is his rookie year, and he has been magnificent. And you know, I've watched a lot of Big 12. I've seen the Wildcats give Kansas some problems. And Keontae Johnson, a couple of transfers. So these are older players that have come in and turned this program around with Tang. Keontae Johnson came from Florida. Marquise Noel came from Arkansas, Little Rock. And these two dudes light it up. It'll be a battle of tempos, too. Michigan State wants to slow it down. 303rd in the country in pace. Kansas State's at 40. They want to push the pace a little bit. A lot of fun to watch Kansas State. Now, the Spartans are the better defensive team. And the Cats are the superior... And the Cats are the superior offensive team. So you got a battle there. Michigan State, great three-point shooting team. Kansas State, great three-point defense. Pretty even matchup. I'm going to give the edge to the Wildcats. They stop everything that the Spartans do well offensively. It should be an absolute classic. Let's move on now. We got a lot of Broncos to talk about, and it's not just the wide receiver. We're going to trade this guy. How's the offense going? You know, what are we doing with the offensive line? Is it complete? Are they going to do anything at safety? No. I want to start with something. I don't even know if the Denver media has hopped on yet, but Draymond Jones. Draymond Jones went to the Seattle Seahawks, and he had, I would say, scathing words for the previous administration here in Denver, and maybe even last year as well. So Draymond said about Denver, he goes, to keep it short, it was a lot more hectic than I wanted it to be. It was just too much going on, a lot of drama that was unnecessary. Football didn't seem as important as it needed to be at one point, and that sucks because that's coming from a place that I really grew to appreciate. Okay, so let's look at this again. Keep it short, it was a lot more hectic. Absolutely. Last year was a debacle. An embarrassment, a national embarrassment. One of the worst head coaching hirings in the history of the league. Probably a top five awful hiring. Because there was so much going on, a lot of drama that was unnecessary. Anytime you have a losing team, especially the way this team lost after the expectations, tons of drama is going to happen. Football didn't seem as important as it needed to be at one point. Now, that's a little concerning. What do you mean football didn't seem to be as important as it needed to be at one point? I don't get what that means. It's just the organization didn't care about football anymore. They didn't care about winning the games. They cared about everything else. And he said, that sucks because it's coming from a place I really grew to appreciate. Well, yeah, this is a legacy franchise here. But you know what? He's 100% right. To be fair, the Penner-Walton ownership group did inherit this mess. And it's really not their fault that last year was such a train wreck. It's not. They came in, they inherited Hackett, they inherited this roster, they inherited everything. And they were just taking their time to figure out what was working, what wasn't working. And to their credit, they blew it up with a couple of games left in the season. They've spent more money than anybody this offseason. Doesn't always translate into winning. Go ask Dan Snyder that. He did that for years. But it does seem like there's finally an adult in the room or a few adults in the room. They got themselves Sean Payton. I think it's going to be a different feel here. If Draymond somehow, some way would have come back, it would have been different. But it just speaks volumes about the lack of leadership in the post-Pat Bowlen era. And Draymond Jones is right. It was too hectic. There was too much drama. And it just didn't seem like football was the number one priority. It was getting ahead of these fires and putting them out. And it didn't work. The fire turned into inferno. Let's move on to some thoughts on the roster. Peter King, you know Peter King, said something really interesting. He goes, if Wilson by mid-season 2023 is having a similarly disastrous season to his first one in Denver, Peyton won't have to punt on the season. He'll have an intriguing backup waiting in the wings, but Peyton did not go hard after Jarrett Stidham to put pressure on Wilson. He considered his options at backup quarterback, thought he could play it safe around the same money. So they brought in Stidham, and this is not a guy you want to be your quarterback going forward, but it's a guy that can manage a game. And we saw that in the last two games with the Raiders. He can make a play. He can also turn the ball over quite a bit. But it's interesting that King says this. Peyton did not go hard after Stidham to put pressure on Wilson. So he knows if they're going to win, it's going to be with Russell Wilson, but at least they have a capable backup there. Next, we get to the wide receiver trade situation, Jeudy and Sutton. I still don't think they're going anywhere if the price remains the same. Look no further than what we just saw with the Houston Texans trade of Brandon Cooks to the Dallas Cowboys. This is a uber productive journeyman. It's interesting because Cooks has just been everywhere, but everywhere he goes when he stays healthy, he's really productive. They got a fifth and a sixth for him, a fifth this year and a sixth next year for a guy that's been more productive than both Jeudy and Sutton. And if you project going forward, probably more productive than Courtland Sutton. Now, do the Cowboys call? Most likely. I'd rather have Brandon Cooks for a fifth and a sixth than Courtland Sutton at a third or even a fourth. You know, maybe the return of Sutton would be a late end third. I'm just not sure. He's so talented. He's big, but he just hasn't regained the form since the surgery and the missed season. And why move Jeudy for anything less than a first? I highly doubt it'll happen. So if this happens, if they don't get at least a third for Courtland Sutton, it's just a stupid trade. Because the talent is still there. You just have to hope he regains the form. But this team is still looking for other things besides for a trade of a wide receiver. They're looking for offensive line depth. They signed two of the best run blockers, maybe the top two run blockers at their positions. Ben Powers at left guard, McGlinchey at right tackle. They still need a starting strong safety. No question about that. You got to bring back Latavius or another running back that's a veteran. Probably draft a running back or sign an undrafted free agent running back. You need another tight end. Nobody seems to be too happy with Albert O right now. They brought in Manhurts, the blocker, but you've got Dulcich, Manhurts. Maybe you draft a tight end late. Draft a third string quarterback, another edge rusher. Randy Gregory's going to miss games. I actually like this depth chart right now. I'm quietly optimistic about the direction that the Broncos are going in. All right, and last but not least, before we move on to Springer, Nuggets. Interesting things going on with the Nuggets. They beat the Nets yesterday, so they finally got that win, 108-102, basically led the whole game. Jokic, another triple-double, 22-17-10. It's amazing. And this team is still the best in the West, despite the recent slide. They lost 5-6, and after they lost to the Knicks on Saturday, before the win, here's what Jokic says. He goes, we need to be concerned. We need to try to win the next one. Even when we're getting the extra pass, we're not making shots, so I think that's it. And we cannot defend really well right now. And he's 100% spot on. He knows the shots aren't dropping. That's something that can change. But the defense and the rebounding has been an issue. And both, it's not the easiest fix in the world, but coaching and effort. Effort helps defense so much. And they're just fouling too much, too. It really does come down to defensive rebounding. They need to up it defensively. They need to rebound better. The bench is another story. I mean, Malone just needs to suck it up, trust a rookie, and play Christian Brown more. And he needs to do it for the rest of the year. He's their best energy option off the bench. Do they run the gauntlet over their last 10 games after tomorrow's tilt in D.C.? So 10 games left. 10 games left. Here's what they've got. They got a four-game lead over the Kings and the Grizzlies in the West to clinch the West. The only team to clinch their division to this point, they've clinched the Northwest. They've got the Bucks, Sixers, and Pelicans, plus the Warriors at home. Four games against three pretty good teams. Then you got the Suns home and home, a game against the Jazz. They've clinched the division, four-game lead. Again, this is a team that has to turn it around. I think they do turn it around. And are you kidding me? Did this really flip? I have not seen this. Joel Embiid is now the favorite to win the MVP over Nikola Jokic? Wow. I mean, I'm just flipping through the futures here. I didn't see this morning. This just got posted. This is huge news. Embiid is now minus 200. Jokic is plus 230. So this recent slide by the Nuggets, this is going to give the voters pause. And this is a chance now for Joel Embiid to stop the MVP train for Nikola Jokic. Wow. I can't believe I didn't. Maybe this wasn't posted when I woke up this morning. The Sixers 2.5 games behind the Bucks. Embiid is now ahead of Jokic in efficiency ratings and player efficiency ratings by John Hollinger. 31.7 Jokic, 31.74 Jokic, 31.72. So this slide by the Nuggets has put Joel Embiid in front as a pretty hearty favorite. So is it worth betting Jokic at +230? I'm not so sure it is at this point because I think there are voters that want to give Embiid the MVP. There are voters that don't want Jokic to win his third straight MVP. It's a complete stay-away spot for me. Wow. Jokic now +230, Embiid -200 on Bet Rivers. If you want to bet Jokic to win the MVP, go for it. But everything that I said at the beginning and really into the middle of the season, that he wouldn't win it because they're not going to give it to him three straight. And then I thought they were absolutely going to have to give it to him. Well, the team has taken a huge step back. They're going to have to run the gauntlet here. At the end of the year, Philadelphia is going to have to take a step back. Yeah, this might be Embiid's to win. Absolutely fascinating. Wow. Shocked. Well, here he is, Mark Springer, Altitude 92.5. So many things to talk to you about, my friend. We can go any direction. I guess we should start with the Avalanche, though, since you do Between the Pipes. You host the pregame show there. You do some postgame stuff. And we start with this. This team is surging now. They are on, what is it, five straight wins? They are up to fifth in the Western Conference. They are even money to win the division. They're right on Dallas's heels. Talk to me, my friend. What is going on with the Avs? And should we be betting this at even money or get back? Because we have said you should be betting the Avs to win the division and the Western Conference and all of it. But is this the time to back the Avs to win the division again at even money or even if we can find plus money?
Yeah, I mean, the Avs this season have been the quintessential stay the course team. Don't lose sight in what they truly are. And, you know, injuries have plagued them all season. Just recently, Arturi Lehkonen got hurt. But that's okay. Arturi Lehkonen's a smaller player. A bigger two-way player like Valeri Nichushkin is healthy. He's playing great right now. And the Avs are on a five-game winning streak. Nathan MacKinnon is killing it right now. I mean, that's the thing about this team. They're just loaded with talent. They're on a five-game winning streak, which is the longest active streak in the NHL. They are 3 points back of Dallas with two games in hand. 2 points back of Minnesota for the two spot in the Central with two games in hand. And here's the thing. They play both of those teams down the stretch. On April Fool's Day at Ball Arena, the Avs will play the Stars. And Holden, I was telling you, great storyline here is Stars come to town. You've been atop the Central all season long. April Fool's, the Avs take it back, okay? And actually, the game before that, this is on my birthday. This is how you know the Avs are going to win this game. Wednesday, March 29th, the Wild come to town. So back-to-back games, first Minnesota, then Dallas, in their own building. The Avs, their destiny is in their hands. And you look at this schedule. This schedule is insane. Tonight, they're huge favorites against the Blackhawks. They're going to win tonight, okay? The Penguins come to town after that. The Penguins are a very beatable team. They're the oldest team in the NHL. The Avs can absolutely win that game. They play Pittsburgh well at Ball Arena over the past few years. Should be no different. Back-to-back against the Coyotes. Then they play the Ducks after that Wild Stars game. Two against the Sharks, which are the Sharks are awful, Holden. The Sharks are terrible at the Kings, at the Ducks, Oilers, Jets at home, at Nashville. That is an easy schedule. It's no wonder that the Avs have the easiest remaining schedule in all of the NHL. With two at home against the two teams they're chasing, it is all set up for the Avs to win the division. And I don't know about be the one seed in the conference, but, man, they're probably going to win this division when you look at that schedule.
Why not the one seed in the conference? What are they, six points back with two games in hand?
Hey, with that schedule, it's absolutely possible. Yeah. It is absolutely possible because that is an easy schedule.
And then they got the Blackhawks tonight.
I mean, yeah, gigantic favorites.
Blackhawks stink.
Yeah, no more Patrick Kane. Credit to Chicago. They're actually a plucky team, but this is in Ball Arena. There's a reason the Avs are like -450 favorites tonight. I personally do really like them -1.5. Alexander Georgiev should start tonight. Now, the -1.5 is -175. Mm-hmm. So it's still not amazing value. If you're looking for something tonight with even or plus money, the one number that caught my eye was Devon Toews over 0.5 point. at plus 100 at even money. He's been playing much better of late. We haven't talked much about Devon Toews this season, but he scored the opening goal against the Detroit Red Wings. He's racking up more points recently. I think Devon Toews, he's paired with Cale Makar. If you're looking for a plus money ad, because a lot of these ads to get a point tonight are like minus 180 or something like that. Devon Toews has a couple of two assist games this month to go along with the goal he scored on Saturday. He's playing much better of late. That's a value pick. I don't hate at all.
All right. So we're definitely, if you haven't gotten in on it yet, or you want to get back in on it again, the Avs to win the division could be the way to be. Okay, good. I like it. We came up with a bet. We got tonight's game. And then we've got Jokic no longer MVP. And I said this, the voters, again, if it comes down to it, they're not going to want to give him three in a row. There's a lot of people that want to give the MVP award. And this is not because Jokic has been bad, although in player efficiency rating, Embiid has finally passed Jokic by like a hair. This is because the Nuggets have stunk over the last 2 weeks. That's what this is. And I don't know if Jokic is going to bounce back from this unless Embiid gets hurt.
Yeah, right now it does look like Joel Embiid is going to win the MVP solely because of voter fatigue. It really does feel like it's that simple because Jokic has been playing just fine. Like you said, Holden, the key to the Nuggets really is that you know what you're going to get from Nikola Jokic. It's how does Jamal Murray play? How does Michael Porter Jr. play? No, you could say the same thing about Embiid and the Sixers. How does James Harden play? How does Tyrese Maxey play? That really is the key to these teams. You know what you're going to get from the two MVP caliber centers. That being said, if you have an open ticket on Nikola Jokic to win the MVP, or you're looking at this new plus money that he's faced with and you want to take a flyer on it, here's how Nikola Jokic wins the MVP. It's actually very simple. Now, I say simple, it's still in the voters' hands. I can't read their minds, but here's what I can tell you. This Saturday, they host the Milwaukee Bucks at Ball Arena, okay? Last time the Nuggets played the Bucks, the only time, because they're an Eastern Conference team, that they play Milwaukee, was earlier this season in Milwaukee. Jokic did not play in that game, and the Bucks won by 8. The Nuggets actually covered the 8.5 spread in that game. So he can beat Giannis at home on Saturday. But the real key is a week from tonight, Monday, March 27th, at home against the Philadelphia 76ers. Embiid and the Sixers got the Nuggets on that Saturday ABC game a few weekends ago.
He's not going to play.
That is a cheap move if they don't play him in that game, because if Jokic and the Nuggets can beat Embiid in their building now, that should cancel that loss out, and the Nuggets will be the one seed in the West still in all likelihood. So to me, the MVP very well could come down to Nuggets Sixers on Monday. Like, this could be a game for the MVP.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't think he does sit. It's not a back-to-back there. It wouldn't shock me, though. Let's just put it that way. It wouldn't shock me.
What would be so funny about that, Holden, is people were going with the stat padding argument, Kendrick Perkins, the stat padding argument. That's not stat padding, but that is definitely manipulating to try to win an MVP. That's worse than stat padding.
Well, yeah, I get that. Here's the deal with this. There's two ways Jokic wins the MVP. A, Embiid gets hurt. Not rooting for that. Embiid guy over here went to Kansas. B, the Sixers go in a tailspin, and then the Nuggets finish strong. That's why you're getting plus money there. I'm not going to bet it. I'm out. I'm out on the MVP.
Well, people over the past couple of years were knocking Jokic for, like, last year he won the MVP as the sixth seed. Mm-hmm. They're still in all likelihood going to be the one seed. So, look, we'll see if the goalposts change. I personally really don't care if Jokic wins. I just do see a path for it.
I need the Nuggets to get going here, so we can get another deep run in the playoffs. This has been a really bad road that they've been down. They're not defending, they're not rebounding, and they're not helping Jokic out. It's as simple as that. I mean, and Malone needs to get his crap together with the bench. It's just a problem he's had. Play Brown a lot, Christian Brown a lot more. But for me, it comes down to coaching and effort. Defense and rebounding is effort. Coaching is in there too. Getting your bench correctly is coaching. So it comes down to coaching and effort. And those are two things. One, you can fix effort. Coaching is another question.
Yeah, the good news is that, look, I knew that Saturday morning game against the Knicks was going to be tough, especially if Jalen Brunson played, and he did. So I knew that was going to be really tough. The Knicks are good. I'm not saying the Knicks are winning a championship, but that is a good Knicks team, actually. Like, if you're sleeping on the Knicks, you shouldn't be. To come back the following day, 24 hours later, just over 24 hours later, and go into Brooklyn, a team that came into Ball Arena and beat them last weekend, that was an impressive win on the second day of a back-to-back. So I'm a little more at ease today with that win over Brooklyn. That helped my mentality a lot.
All right, my friend. Last thing for you here was the NCAA tournament. It was awesome at Ball Arena last night. You had Gonzaga basically cover with 0.7 seconds left. The ball rolls up almost to midcourt, three-pointer hit. Do you know how many bettors were at that game? Because there's no way that many people were cheering just because they saw an awesome half-court shot and two quote-unquote meaningless free throws. I have discussed this with my buddy Ian St. Clair from Play Colorado. This is a basketball betting town, which shocks me because the handle is higher during the NFL season on basketball than it is in football. Fascinating to me, Springer. I know no one talks about the Nuggets. No one talks about college hoops. The money does the talking. People all over that place were betting that game.
Well, look, sports betting has been legal here for a while now. And you know, if you're spending a Sunday night watching Gonzaga TCU, I know if you're a big college hoops guy, that's a marquee matchup, but It's still Gonzaga versus Texas Christian. You know, you got to be into it. So I'm not surprised at all that those in attendance had some action on the game. I love it. That's my city right there. Love my city.
Oh, that was tremendous, man. That was like, all right, finally, we're an official betting city. Denver is an official betting city. Meaningless.
Eat your heart out, Las Vegas.
Meaningless backdoor covers or bad beats. I hate with, oh, bad beat. It was a great backdoor cover more than a bad beat. Can you imagine? You won the side on that because of a meaningless three-pointer? That's the most amazing backdoor cover. I don't care if you had a bad beat. Too bad. Backdoor cover is the way to go.
Oh, that's one shining moment right there. That's what we live for.
We should come up with a betting one shining moment because that's the one that you're going to hold up at the end. That's the championship trophy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What do you got going on, my friend, over at Altitude?
Oh, well, hey, real quick on the NCAA tournament. Let me give you one pick. You want to pick?
Sure.
I don't really love – I think that this has been a very difficult NCAA tournament to bet. I mean, you see how many people's brackets have gotten busted for various reasons. And this weekend, or at least on Thursday, Friday, I don't love any pick. But there is one team that I'm high on right now. Unfortunately, they don't have a great betting matchup. I really like Creighton right now. I'm high on Creighton. Now, they have Princeton next, and they're 10-point favorites. That's tough to me. I don't know. But to win the South region, Alabama will play San Diego State, and Alabama's favorite at minus 125. Mm-hmm. I like Creighton at plus 190. Brian Kalkbrenner, the 7-foot-1 center, is a problem. Holden, you'll know better than anybody. Last year in the second round of the tournament, your Kansas Jayhawks snuck by Creighton because Kalkbrenner got hurt late in that game. Your Jayhawks went on to win the national championship. Had Kalkbrenner stayed healthy, I don't know, man. Creighton could have won that game.
No, they couldn't have, but I already talked about Creighton. You're just echoing my sentiments at this point.
Ah, see, great minds think alike.
You know,
so, yeah.
You know what? Screw the pod. 10-1 to win it all.
Hey, all right. There it is. You heard. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I like this team.
They are terrific. And they went through a funk because Kalkbrenner got hurt and he came back and now they look great and they're big and they can shoot and they can defend. Yeah. All right. Now what's going on at Altitude?
So we're back to normal. Kreckman and Lindahl, 3-6 most nights this week. I produce the Blitz right after. I'm on with Mark Bertinoli leading up to Nuggets, Avs coverage. We go to 7 if there is no Nuggets and Avs game. And then after every Avs game this week, Between the Pipes, Altitude Sports Radio, tune in, hear our thoughts about the surging Avs.
Ah, it's wonderful to hear. Thank you, Springer. Thanks to myself for waking up early this morning after a nice little hangover of 4 days partying during the NCAA tournament. Melissa, Adam, Terry, behind the scenes, you guys are awesome. Make sure you download the Bet Rivers app if you haven't already. And thanks for checking out the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Thanks for listening to the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.